And we're back. Stripe Show Podcast on a Tuesday. Hope everyone's having a good start to the week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Today's podcast brought to you by About Golf Simulators. We've got a full fitting going on over there right now. True Spec in the house. Driver fitting, fairway woods. If you hear that little loud crack in the backdrop, that's what's happening there. But yeah, Players Championship coming off a great week here in Ponte Vedra. My man was in town. Hopefully he caught the show. Keith Stewart joining us back at home after a long, what, three-week journey on the road?
Two weeks.
Okay. You were down in West Palm. All right. So 2 weeks. Oh. Arnie, Players, what did those two have in common? Scottie Scheffler. Number one player in the world, just... I mean,
he's good.
KT tape on his neck. I mean, he couldn't, you know, halfway back, it hurt and taking a turn. He was having a hard time, you know, getting down in there and looking at it and putting. He had pain and it still didn't matter come Sunday. 64 around TPC Sawgrass to win by one, man. It's I'm one player in the world. What did I predict at the beginning of the year? Five wins. We're up to two. I'm starting to think maybe with the improvement of this putter, I didn't give it, maybe I should have went higher.
Well, you know what? I think it's interesting that we've all been in pain watching his putting recently. I'm glad that Scotty's feeling some pain these days, you know. Two in a row, it's impressive. 64 on a Sunday with a bad neck. Yeah. I mean, it's no broken leg in the U.S. Open, but you got to give the guy credit.
Yeah, you sure do. I mean, and look, we've talked a lot about his putting. I've done, you know, plenty of analysis on it. Including talking to his coach, Phil Kenyon, about the direction that they took. And look, it's they have found, I think, kind of the middle ground. I mean, he, you know, they added an extra inch or half inch to the putter. He's standing up a little taller. He went to the mallet. And it just seems like since he's went to that mallet, blended in with some of the changes that they made, all of a sudden the ball started to go in the hole a little bit. And then all of a sudden you start getting a little bit more confidence. And on Sunday, that's as confident as I've seen him with his putter. That putt on nine from about 8 feet when he hit it over the green in two, then blew the first one by. I mean, he stepped right up there and knocked that thing straight in the cup. And I was like, whew, Scotty's he's gaining some confidence with that putter. Now, yeah. He only gained one. I think it was positive 1.2, somewhere in there, strokes gained putting. I think it was closer to four at Arnold Palmer. But make no mistake, if this guy lives in the green, even if it's positive one or two with the putter, as dominant as his full swing is and his game tee to green, and we know how good he is situationally down the stretch, he is going to be one tough cookie to beat. And I bet the boys are happy he's not in the field this week in Tampa.
10 of the top 30 in the official world golf ranking. Whatever you think about that. But yeah, we got a good field. Considering it's the week after Players, people are going to the Bahamas, meeting with Piff, all sorts of things going on. We got a good crew here. And, you know, the Florida swing is not a peaceful place. I mean, these four back-to-back golf courses are ridiculous. And, you know, and we could get into Valspar here because the Copperhead course, it might be the toughest of all four. And, you know, I know that, you know, there's not as much water here, but there's just as much trouble. I mean, this golf course, it's par 71, 7340. And everybody says, well, you know, 7300 is not that long. Hang on for a second. You got to look at the scorecard. There's five par threes. So they're pulling a par five and they're giving you an extra par three. And it's like, man, what are we doing here? You know, like it's a lot, you know, you're taking 200 yards off the scorecard with a driver. And, you know, I think that's why. And then with the dog legs and the penalty areas, they're forcing guys to be very positional off the tee. You know, like five of the last 10 winners have lost strokes off the tee and they won. So it's a difficult place to get the ball, you know, in the fairway, in play. You really got to lean heavily on mid to long iron play. I say mid because at 200 yards, it's a 7 iron for a lot of these guys, or a 6 iron, which I still consider a mid iron. But, you know, those par fives hitting in there, the five par threes, they average 212 yards in length. So that's probably 6-5 iron land. You got to have that long iron play. And then, you know, I always love looking at the GCSAA report, which is the, you know, Golf Course Superintendents Association of America report. So every week that comes out, And you look at things like the size of the greens and the grass and all of that, but they made a point last year, Travis, to say that they were raising the rough 3/4 of an inch from 3 inches to 3.75.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like average winning score here over the last 10 years is 11 under par. And like a lot of times it's single digits. I'm like, I'm not sure we really need that, guys. And then this year they did another thing where they took the intermediate cut around the greens, which was 72 inches wide, and they reduced it to 21 inches wide. So they've made the rough taller the last couple of years. They've moved the rough closer to these small greens, which are about the size of Sawgrass. I think you really got to lean on putting around the green and these long approach shots in order, if you're a model guy or if you're not, if you're just looking at purely at the numbers, I mean, I think that's really where you got to concentrate, because those are the guys you're going to find in contention come Sunday.
How about the splits of Bermuda? I was talking with Marcus Potter. He's there with Jimmy Stanger, who he works with, had a good week last week at the Players. Works with Lee Hodges, of course. And I was texting with him this morning, and he was saying that's really wet. They got some rain. He said they got on property, and it's pretty wet there. Speaking of
rained
wet,
on Monday.
Rained on Monday. Speaking of wet, can you believe how soft TPC Sawgrass played? I was surprised how soft they kept the fairways. I mean, I know they, you know, it's green, it's lush, it's double over, you know, they want that, you know, maybe Augusta look to it. And it started to brown out a little bit on Sunday, but maybe it's just because I live here and I've played it so many times and played it when it's bouncing. I just would have liked to see the ball bounce a little bit more than it was, because they certainly could have. Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that a lot of people complain about TPC Sawgrass being too short. So they made it longer. They made it soft. You know,
yeah, but soft is 20 under with no wind. I mean, so you're going to, that's what you're going to get. And the breeze really way down. Yeah.
If there was wind, there was no wind all 4 days.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So those guys, I mean, we almost, it's almost like a backhanded compliment to them. They're like, well, it's not good enough if they shoot 20 under. We're like, no, they're that good. They're, if you don't throw wind or some kind of elements at them or super firm and fast conditions, which I wouldn't have wanted to see. I think that they did a nice job with the golf course. I wouldn't have softened the fairways, but I thought that the greens were in great shape. And I think that the guys, so like everybody hates it when it's tricked up. I mean, certain fans love that, but like you and I, or, you know, like the purists, we just want the best player to win, and the best player's winning. So as far as best I'm player concerned, won. I think they did a good
doubt.
Job.
Best player won. There's no doubt about it. And Scotty Scheffler, I don't care what tour you play on, what your metric is in official world golf ranking, data golf, fantasy national, whatever it is. Number one player in the world is Scottie Scheffler, and it is a wide margin at this point, and it's just going to get wider if that putter continues to improve. Copperhead, as you mentioned, the 5 par 3s. Yeah, this is difficult, this golf course.
Hard.
And you look at who's won here, 2023, of course, Taylor Moore won here last year. Sam Burns back-to-back in 22-21. Then we had COVID in 20. Paul Casey went back-to-back, you can recall, back in 19-18. Adam Hadwin going back a ways to 2017. Yeah, you know, I am kind of a model guy, and I was running some models. You bring up some interesting points on stroke gain off the tee. Certainly approach, we know, weighs out. Putting is way up there. You're going to have to fill it up here a little bit in stroke gain putting. Are you going to weigh out a little more, say, some Bermuda specialists? Certainly Bermuda Burns comes to mind. Greens, folks, where I know we're in Tampa, or I know it's in Tampa Bay, and it's only 3.5 hours here from Ponte Vedra. But let me tell you something. These surfaces that they're putting on are very different than what they just put on here at TPC Sawgrass. Way more of a Bermuda feel over there in Copperhead. Are you going to lean on some of those splits or no?
Well, they oversee with Poa Trivialis, which is the same grass that was at TPC Sawgrass. Now, I think people get confused with this golf course because it's been played in so many different months. They played this event. I mean, it was canceled due to 9/11 back when they played it in September. They played it in October. The first time Burns won it, I think it was in May, or it was like the last weekend in April. And then now it's in March. The best spot for it is March for golf course conditions. But they throw the same grass on here in the wintertime on the greens as they do at TPC Scottsdale and wherever else we see that Poa Trivialis. We just saw it last week at the Players. I honestly think this place is just really tough to putt. Bay Hill is not. Bay Hill is, those are flat greens. And they're large and they're flat. You're atypical Florida. I think the greens last week, they have some shelves, but when you're on the right shelf, they're flat. PGA National can get windy down there. They're not crazy either. These greens here, they're really difficult when you look at the numbers between 5 and 15 feet. Guys miss a lot of putts. And I think that has a lot to do with why there's been three winners here in the last 5 years. Well, 6 years if you count COVID. But like in the last five tournaments here, we've only had three winners. I think if you putt well here, and you've proven to yourself that you can roll the rock here, then you are going to continue to do well, because I think there's some subtleties that a lot of the guys aren't seeing. So I don't think it's a grass issue. I think it's more along the lines of in that range of 5 to 20 feet. I want really good putters, and I probably want even more so really good green readers.
All right. Well, let's get into it here.
That's my take on it.
Let me pull up the board here. There it is. So top of the board, guy that finished T2nd. Before we get to our first look here, I just want to spend a little moment here at the top of the board because Xander is in the field, and he is right now around 6-1, maybe 7-1. Good week last week, as Xander does so many great things, but then late on a Sunday, a couple bogeys, 14 and 15, loses it right. Misses, you know, 4.5 footer there on 17 for birdie to pull even with Scheffler, and then loses it right on 18. Just kind of the same stuff. You agreed down the stretch for Xander and when trying to win late on a Sunday?
600 plus days since he won, 600 and almost 20 days. You know, what was it? Genesis Open, 2022. A lot of top tens in there. You know,
lots. So, yeah.
Lots of top tens.
Runner-ups.
Arguably, if we leave Scotty out of all of these conversations because he's uber ball striker, I think without a doubt, Xander Schauffele is the most well-rounded golfer right now on the PGA Tour. There's not a guy that is like top 30 in everything like he does. And there are other guys that can get there, like a JT and a Patrick Cantlay or somebody like that, or maybe even a Rory, but like, man, he is on point, but when the necktie tightens, he doesn't know how to loosen that Windsor knot, and he'll figure that out. But man, him being a favorite in this field, I mean, the whole top of the board, is the majority of them are flawed in some way. I mean, JT comes in
really for most tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple names there that I like, but if we just want to go through, like, JT missed the cut last week, going to a place that he's had good history, but he's got to get the ball in play. Jordan cannot hit an iron, and, you know, he's spending all day in the Bahamas yesterday, so I don't like the fact that he probably wasn't on a range figuring it out. You got Sungjae, he's got iron issues too. Cameron Young is becoming the best, you know, top 20, top 30 golfer in the world. And the chipping's not great either. And then Tony Finau can't putt either. So at the top of the board, there's two other names there. Burns with the history. And, you know, what I love about Sam Burns this year, and you know we've bet him a couple, or I've bet him a couple times, is that he's been way more consistent than he's been in his career. You know, Sam Burns would get hot for like two or three events and then he would miss cuts. But man, he rolled off those four top tens in a row, and then he kind of ejected on Sunday at Bay Hill. But you know, Sawgrass, the guy made a ton of birdies, and that's a really difficult golf course, and definitely not one where I would pick Sam Burns ever to win. The course history here, I love. So, I mean, at the top of the board,
don't mention that second name. Don't mention that second name yet, okay? Because I know where you're going.
I've used the microphone before.
I don't want you to. Okay.
At the end of the day, at the top of the board, you know, everyone's like, oh, there's these, you know, there's these names at the top, man. I don't know. There's some flaws. If I was this year's Taylor Moore, I'd be licking my chops, man. I would be like, I'm going to put that ball in play, and I'm going to have just a great long iron week, and I'm going to fill up the cup, and at whatever in the middle of the pack you can be, and I could survive Sam Burns and a couple other dudes at the top. Let's roll.
Yeah. I don't like a whole lot up top. I mean, we know Xander's going to be there. We know he's going to do enough to, you know, be some kind of factor on Sunday. And look, we've skinned Xander a lot over the years, and you know, it's just all situationally with Xander. We're talking about a player who needs to win, His skill set suggests more wins, major championships. He's a different player situationally late on a Sunday. He's now working with Chris Como, which I think is a good fit. You know, they've known each other a long time. I was talking to Chris yesterday on the phone some as he was driving back and exhausted from the week that was. And, you know, there's he didn't say this, but just kind of, you know, listening to some of the things that Xander has said as well, is that they're trying to make him a little bit more of an, you know, a little longer off the tee, a little more elite driver off the tee. And he busted a couple of TPC that were way out there. That shot that he hit on 12 that just went flying over the green. Oh, that was deep. That was like one of the only balls I saw go past that green. So you can see some distance happening. And Chris did mention, you know, like getting the club a little bit more across the line, which, you know, gets him a little deeper and a little fuller turn rather than being short with the turn and laid off. And all those things are fine. The point I'm making, Keith, all those things are fine. And maybe that'll push him over the top. But until Xander, I think, mentally becomes better situationally late on a Sunday, I'm not sure any of it matters, because Xander's a great player already. Now, can we make him longer and he'll be even better yet, for sure. There's no doubt. But man, you can just see all of a sudden just little things start to happen. He's just different when it's time to win, where Scotty's not. He wants the ball. You can see him run with it. Wyndham Clark is not. He wants the ball. He wants to run with it. I even think Austin Ekroek, what we saw down in Palm Beach, you could see him. He wants the ball. There's just a different energy with Xander, so it's going to be interesting. I think Sam Burns does want the ball. I think Sam Burns is going to win more. We know he has a couple times here. Now, the name that you didn't mention, okay? The name that you didn't mention is where I'm going to go at the top of the board. But first, all right, so Brian Harman's the man, right? Brian Harman last week was impressive. I mean, anytime, look, if you got to take a head cover off in the fairway, which most players don't anymore because they're so long off the tee and they can just blast 4-iron 260 yard. Thank you very much, Wyndham Clark. If you got to take a head cover off, like a hybrid or a, you know, 3-wood, I mean, that guy is magic. I mean, he gets the most out of his game, and he's only 288 yards off the tee. On Thursday, I've got his coach, Justin Parsons. I was talking with him just about, I think, what we're seeing with his iron game. I mean, this dude's on a heater. He gained 9 strokes approach at the Players. He gained 5.6 at Arnold Palmer. We know what he can do with his putter. He's magic around the greens. I think he's long enough off the tee to compete here. He's feeling really, really good about his game. Was right there to win. He's not afraid to win. He's the Open champion. I think this is a good place for him. I fully expect that he keeps the momentum going. And I can't wait to share some of the insight about Brian Harman, some of the things that they do with his swing, the magic of his short game on Thursday with his coach, Justin Parsons. So give me Harman as my first look.
I tell you what, I've been out on tour now for 2.5 years, getting to know these guys, listening to them. And you don't get to hear the same people every week, which is great because different people play well. Brian Harman is one of the most thoughtful and bright players on tour. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need a degree in order to play on the PGA Tour, but man, that guy is sharp. And he knows he's playing well right now. So by all means, bet him. I would bet him.
Look at that swing. I mean, that's what I told. I already filmed this with Justin. We filmed this morning. And, you know, one of the things we talked about was just how well he turns the corner from here. I mean, his handle at impact is pretty much the same height as it was at address. You don't see that a ton. Most of the time it's a little higher handicaps. You'll see a really high handle, but from there on, the way he turns that corner, I mean, it's just phenomenal. So matched up through the zone. Yeah, it was good. I mean, he's, I'll tell you right now, his iron game, it was elite. I mean, elite at TPC Sawgrass. Now we just kind of go down Interstate 4 over to Tampa. Let's just keep it going. So there you go.
Yeah, I think by all means, I got no arguments there.
Who's your guy?
I'm going with the Gim Reaper. No gimme putts. Doug Gim.
I love it.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, five straight top 20s, this guy is striking the ball like Harmon. And the complaint is that Harmon can fill up the cup, and Doug Gim has had his struggles in the past. You know, a lot of people forget when he came out. I mean, he was with Morikawa and Hovland. Those were the three. Those are the names, you know, and he's just, he's had a, an average career so far, but there's a couple things going on there. Over his last five, the guy's gaining like seven strokes on the field, and it's like 3.5 with approach, but like the putter's been okay.
It has,
you know, it's been okay. And we're going to a place where like a lot of guys miss putts. So if he can read the greens well and he can get some confidence, he's got it with his ball striking. You know, leading into last week, a lot of people were talking about the DFS world and in placements and everything or matchups. Go Doug Gim, because Doug, a couple of years ago, had a couple back-to-back great finishes at TPC Sawgrass. And once you're good there, it's like, becomes a pretty predictable place, right? So he knew that going in. He knew that was a good place for him. Not that he heard our chatter, but he knows where he's good. These guys all know where they're good, right? And they all know where their station in life is. And we'll get a little bit more into that as we bet some other people. But the fact of the matter is that he showed up. He did a great job. And arguably, he hit a better shot than Tiger did with the better than most, because he chipped it and he made it, right? Yeah. So it was, and you talk about the impression of Tiger on all of us, his fist bump, and there's no way he thought of this like in the moment,
just but natural.
His fist bump, it was naturally almost identical to what Tiger did in the same position and everything. Somebody did it on social. It was really, really well done. But I think Doug Gim, much like Taylor Moore last year, you know, he started the week at 60-1, Travis. He's down in the low 40s now. So yep. I'm obviously not the only one saying this, but more than one person can win. That's the beauty of golf betting. So by all means, you know, like that's where I see this. I see a lot of holes at the top. I don't at Brian Harmon. I don't at Sam Burns, but I see a lot of holes at the top. And if a guy's like number is dropping like that, that means that the books and their, you know, risk specialists are seeing how much activity. And the common sentiment is that this guy is on a heater. Why wouldn't his first win happen there?
Right. So
I like it.
I think it might be the most complete he's played. Really. For a period of time. I mean, something happened to him after the American Express. I mean, we're talking six missed cuts through seven tournaments. And then all of a sudden he shows up at the Farmers and goes 13th and Waste Management 12th, Mexico 8th, 16th in Palm Beach and 16th at the Players. And it's not just his iron game, which I'll put a swing up here, hitting a shot on 17. It's not just his iron game. I mean, he's driving it well. His short game is good. And to your point, Doug Gim just very well might be figuring out how to putt, because he's putted very well, in particularly the last 2 weeks. Now, you know, Doug Gim is a bit of a flusher, and it's really interesting. Like, we don't talk about when we say, you know, swing your swing kind of stuff, and like guys kind of have their own way. Like, Doug Gim's not really brought up much, but let me tell you something. He should be, because you don't see many guys fan the face open like that in the full swing. I mean, they just don't, you just don't see guys rotate it, fan it, maybe lay it off a little at the top and then just bring it down into superior impact position. I mean, like, that is an example of swing your swing, and it's not brought up much. And the dude's a flusher. I mean, absolute flusher.
I mean, yeah, he gets the club on the back of the ball. No doubt.
He does.
Man. You know,
good character guy too. I spent some time with him a couple years ago on the cut. And I'm happy for him. I really am, because, you know, look, he's looking at his college teammate Scottie Scheffler winning everything. Like, gee, man, Christmas, this guy just taken off since we were all at Texas. I mean, Bo Hostler, what's he got to be thinking? Bo Hostler was the number one player at Texas. I think Scheffler was two and Gim was three. I mean, Scheffler just turns pro and he's like, see you guys later. I'm just going to go up into the stratosphere as a professional.
Scheffler did go a couple years. He went 72 events before he won the Waste Management for his first one over Cantley in that playoff. You know, it takes time to figure this. It's hard.
It is. We got to remind ourselves of that, right? You've got to remind. It is very, very difficult. I'd love to see Doug Gim win this. I'm with you on that. You know, you mentioned Cameron Young. He's in there at 23-1. Man, his putter is just chilly. so chilly right now. My goodness. Nick Taylor. What do we make of him? I mean, do you give any, like, let me give a few names here. If you had to pick one or two, you have in this mid range here of 30, like Nick Taylor, Sepp Straka, Adam Hadwin, who's won here. Keegan has fared fairly well here. And there's four interesting and all names to you that maybe deserve a little sprinkle.
I think it comes down to motivation. And although Hadwin had not a great week last week, except on social media when he hawked that club in 18 in the water, but Hadwin sitting at 50th in the official world golf rankings. And although those rankings may not mean a lot to certain people, it means a lot to Fred Ridley and the Masters. Yeah. Hadwin is coming to a place where he has won and he has to play well to maintain his spot there. And in order to go to Augusta. So for me in that group, I mean, really in that group, I'm looking at Doug Gim. I'm not looking at anybody else. I could be convinced to do a placement on Nick Taylor because I think he's playing with a lot of confidence. But of those other names, and I'm not betting Hadwin, but if I had to pick one, I would pick him.
Yeah, he's got to find something. It was not good at the Players. Really not that good at Arnold Palmer. His putter has left him here for the most part at the start of the season. And so he's going to have to find something quick to stay inside that top 50. I'm probably going to stay away from him.
And that's in that same range with that same motive. Christian Bezuidenhout continues to play better and better and better. And he putts well, and he's 59th in the official world golf rankings. He'd love to get in the Masters. So like there's a guy that is playing really well and has all the motivation you need. So that'd be a guy.
Can you see right there?
You're all the way in Jacksonville. How do I read that?
Yeah, right there. So I had Gim and Bezuidenhout circle. It's like you're reading right off of it. Can you see that from where you're sitting?
Like I just said, you're all the way in Jacksonville. I can't see that.
I like Bezuidenhout too. Interesting with Bezuidenhout. I watched him on the range last week. He went through some pretty good wholesale changes with Jeff Smith on his swing, and that I think has started to pan out, but he was on the range and I didn't see Jeff with him. Saw another guy kind of talking to him. So I'm not sure where we are with that, but I do think Bezuidenhout is a look here. I think he's a good fit for this place. Love what we're seeing with the irons. Love what we're seeing with the irons and can putt as well. I have already sprinkled a little on him. Now, pulling this back up in that area, where to go? I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked last week. I asked you last week, I said, is Sahith Theegala, is his iron game good enough to win at TPC Sawgrass? And he finished in the top 10, and we were both on him, and his iron game was good. What let him down were some situational up and downs, which he's usually pretty good at.
Pressure.
So let me ask you this week, is Maverick McNealy's iron game good enough to win here? Because we know he can putt and he's playing pretty good golf right now.
Much like Bezuidenhout for me, he's a hot hand and I think he's a great placement and I think he's a great live bet. I think he's a great, live head to head bet. So that's where I'm at with him. It's really hard to win. And I know that kid was all world in college, but that's a long time ago. He's coming back from a serious, serious shoulder injury. Much like Zalatoris, with the back and everything. I don't know. So full disclosure, Bezuidenhout and McNealy, I like them. So I'm buying on them. We used to do top 20 or something like that. No. I think that definitely that's your range to make money on those guys. I think sealing the deal, top five win. I'm just not there on it. Sorry.
I think I'd be more there on Bezuidenhout probably.
I don't get the sense either being around them that I just don't get that sense.
Yeah. What about Daniel Berger? He's down here in the 80-90, a guy that's got some equity. We know when he's right, he's a guy that can go, right? Made some changes that we talked about a few weeks ago. when he was at Palm Beach, I kind of touted him a little bit. He didn't hit the ball that bad. His putting was just horrendous down in West Palm. You know, he's just trying to find some reps right now, right? And get back out there. It probably feels a little soon to kind of think that Daniel Berger's ready to really compete late on a Sunday and win, or do you see it different?
Yeah, the design of the tour right now is very choppy for a guy like Daniel Berger, who was a world-class talent, most likely will be a world-class talent again and would be a signature guy. But since he's coming back from injury and he can't like sneak into the signature events, you know, he had to sit out 2 good weeks of competition that he should have been against the best players in the world. And he's got to go from cognizant to here. So I don't know, I need more time with him up in that area at 100-1. There's a different name I'm looking at. And, you know, it's
at 100-1. Let me guess. Yep. Naismith.
No.
Okay.
I know. Great course history and everything, but what's he been doing lately? You know,
there. He actually showed up a little bit of the players.
Don't confuse him with Lashley. Because they're same player with two different names.
No. What do you got? Who's 100-1 that has your eye?
Sam Ryder.
Okay, go ahead.
Just what's he done wrong in Florida since we got
to Florida? He hasn't won since he turned pro.
Okay, but
since 2017.
Wait, you've bet.
I know. I'm over it. I'm over Ryder. I can't.
Okay. No, I'm not saying you need to be. I'm just saying that's a place I want to go. The guy set the record for the most birdies at the Players last week. All right, we'll move on.
No. I think it's a valid point. It's funny you said that because I was in my research and going through this, and I've touted Ryder sometimes on the show, and he was 16th at the Player. He's putted very well the last 2 weeks, and maybe he's ready to win. You know, his iron game is usually very sharp. And I just, man, you know, I just started going back. I was like, damn, this guy hasn't won yet. I mean, since he turned pro back in 17, and
I got news for you. In that 156 man field, there's more guys that haven't won than have won.
I know.
Should I take you back? Should I have the court reporter read through the first 7 weeks of the PGA Tour?
Okay.
You know, I mean, like crazy things have been happening. So down in that land, I mean, you know, is 1 good week with Joel Damon enough to go there because he's won before? Ryan Fox is Albatross back to back.
You're the one that was lecturing me on win equity beginning of the year.
No, I understand that, but if I'm going to put out a card with 4 or 5 guys on it, every single one of them can't have win equity. I mean, I guess they could, but I think that would limit us, right?
Well, maybe.
I mean, I just think it out loud. I mean, every guy that you pick has to have win equity. I mean, these are themes, you know. Like
I'll take Lee Hodges and you take Sam Ryder for $20.
Sure thing. Lee's been playing great. He's good he's good in this area.
Yeah.
Of the country, this region. Sure.
Yeah. I'll take Lee Hodges, who has won before at the 3M Open.
Yes, he has.
And is showing some signs. Iron game is starting to come around. His putter I think Wolk has woken up since he's coming to the East Coast, which we talked about. Some of these guys, they get to the East Coast, kind of hit the reset button. I think Lee has done that. 12th at Arnold Palmer, 35th at the Players. So I'll take Lee Hodges. You take Sam Ryder for $20, whoever finishes higher.
Sure.
Okay. Perfect. Were you surprised by Matty Schmid last week at all and him running up the leaderboard?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Because I saw him on Tuesday night on the range, and I wrote this for Golf Digest. So full disclosure, because I'm sure people follow me in other areas, but he was testing fairway woods.
Wow.
And it was not pretty. Like anyone could have walked by and said, man, that guy, it could look better. And if you look at his record, he's missed like 6 or 7 cuts in a row, and he was testing fairway woods. And I was like, man, this is not the place, because you need a lot of fairway woods at that place off the tee. Mm. ball in play. So I wrote a little note when I was talking about Hideki putting for an hour. You know, maybe his neck doesn't hurt, because who stoops over and putts practice putting for an hour when they have back and neck pain? Nobody does, right? And anecdotally at the bottom, I threw in a little range note and I just said, hey, Matty Schmid, if you're thinking about it, he's missed a bunch of cuts in a row. And so nobody was more surprised than me to see Matty Schmid up at the top of the board. Wow. And hopefully that's good. He's a very nice young man and he's a very nice young player. So I hope that's great signs for him, because I like cheering for those types of guys. You know, he doesn't flush it, but he hits it real good, man. When he's on,
out, you know who checks out pretty good, who's going to finish in the top 20?
This week?
Down there in the 150 to 160 range. Oh, yeah. There he is.
Grayson Sigg?
I know.
Grayson Sigg?
I know how excited you get every time I throw Grayson Sigg in your face. Right? Oh, there he is. There he is.
No, folks. I don't get near, I don't get nearly as excited. Huh? I don't get nearly as excited as he does when he's missing 5-foot putts. The poor guy. Like, I mean, he is a perfect fit if putting wasn't a part of golf for this week. The guy, he's an extraordinary par three player, especially from long range. He's a great long iron player. He's a fantastic, you know, fantastic ball striker. Poor guy. I mean, I don't know how he does it. There's no sharp objects in that golf bag, I can tell you right now. His divot tool mark fixer is blunt.
You heard it here first. He's going positive 1.5 with the putter this week, and he's finishing in the top 20. You heard it here. Heard it here first. Okay.
Positive 1.5.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
It. That's all he needs. That's all he needs to go top 20. That's it.
All he needs. All right.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, he would sign up for it right now, I think.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. And I would sign up for Wyndham Clark's putt dropping on Sunday. I mean, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Well,
I mean, he lost at the Players. He only lost 2 strokes putting. That's okay. Because at the Cognizant, he lost 4 strokes putting.
Okay.
He
that's
gained
enough.
He gained in Mexico. Maybe, I don't know. He was on tequila or something. Then you go to the WMPO. I watched him play with Joel. He lost another 3 strokes there putting. I mean, you want to go back to the Sony? He made the cut there. He only lost 4 strokes putting.
Here's where I want to go.
Okay. All right. You go.
So we're going last 5 years.
You got me all fired up today.
We got last 5 years here at this course, Copperhead. And Burns is just head and shoulders above everybody at this place.
All right.
And then it goes JT. Scott Stallings has had some good stuff here. Davis Riley is, I don't know what in the hell is going on with him. I mean, I think he tried to change his swing and he has lost it. There's Naismith, T3, 2022, just saying. T21, 2021. Keegan Bradley has got a second place here. Sung Jae's done okay. There's Hadwin. Shank, he was second here last year. Spieth, can't trust him. He was third here last year. Taylor Moore, of course, won it last year. I mean, where do you go? I mean, where do you go down this board? It does feel like, given what we've seen on the PGA Tour, and I know Scotty's won the last two, but it does feel like we need to give the audience another name or two down the board. Can Joel Damon keep it going? Is that a guy? Kevin Kisner's back in the field. You ready to go there?
I'm sorry. What?
Great. I mean,
come on.
Look. All right. So here's.
All right. I got one for you. Here's the guy I think.
Okay. Go ahead. You go first.
All right. No, you go. You go.
Well, I was just gonna say. I know. Novak missed the cut at the Players, but he was trending pretty nicely before that. I had to go down the board, long shot. I think I would go Novak in that 100 and 110 range.
I'm going to go a little deeper than that, and I'm going to use him as a placement for sure on my card, and I want to see how things go. But I have seen some really nice signs, and everyone's going to overlook this guy because he just hasn't been around for a while. And golf betting and DFS in general is a 3 or 4 year old, 2 year old, 1 year old. Like type of marketplace and world, and people just don't remember this guy. But Bud Cauley was an all-world golfer in college, and he came out and he got in the car accident. He's been hurt for a long time. He is back, and you know, he was good at WMPO. He was good at the Cognizant for a guy that hadn't played on the PGA Tour in years, and he keeps getting starts, and he should, because he was that good in college. I think that there's a guy right there that I like in this, because of his ball striking, that I like in this arena at the Valspar, Snake Pit, Snake Charmer, Bud Cauley.
Yeah. There it's good. Go. Yeah, that's good. I think even like you go last 12 rounds, let's just go real recent here with some of the key metrics, and Bud Cauley is ninth. Carson Young short, is eight.
It's a small Carson sample Young size for yep. Yeah, Carson Young's, he puts the ball in play. He's great.
Yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm. He's a great bottom of the board guy if you're looking for guys to make the cut, you know, in a 6-for-6 lineup for DFS or whatever. But admittingly, Cauley has a small sample size. He's played in a couple events since he's come back, but you know, it's looked good. And I mean, you know how good he was in college. He was good.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's someone to pay attention to. To win, that's not what I'm saying. 200-1. Although if it happened, I mean, I could see it. He was that good back in the day. But as far as, you know, when you start digging down there, you know, there's a lot of red on that strokes gain board. And that guy, because of recency bias, people don't remember him or whatever. He's just kind of sitting down there because they don't have a lot of history to go on. A lot of the people that make these odds don't know golf. They know numbers. And, you know, like, they don't know the story behind him. So sometimes that's where you find your edges. And that's kind of a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, good. He was fantastic collegiate player. The rec set him back, and he's looked pretty damn good the first two out. I think that's a very reasonable long shot. I think Novak has shown some really good things this year.
Oh, yeah.
What he's been able to do. I think TPC Sawgrass missing the cut there, I wouldn't too much wade into that. That's what Sawgrass can do to you. I mean, it can knock you down in a hurry and you're going to miss the cut. The best players in the world miss the cut there and then come back and finish in the top five the next week or the next
JT.
Year. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, there JT, you go. Former champion nine. Misses the cut. Yep.
Yeah. Nine in a row. You know, he had the longest active streak at TPC Sawgrass and bye-bye. You know, I mean, and this week he's got great history. So
the only other name that keeps popping up on some of these models, and particularly recent, is Keith Mitchell. Now I know we give up a little bit around the greens with Keith. He still kind of tends to struggle there a little bit. The putter can be a little hit and miss. But man, off the tee and opportunities, a lot of greens and reg. I just, you know, Georgia guy, not afraid of this Bermuda. I don't know. Keith, just his name keeps coming up. I haven't bet it, but that's the last guy that I just wanted to throw out of my mouth at this point. But I have not bet it to this point. I do think this Carson Young's got something to him, though. You mentioned, you know, he's going to keep the ball in front. I do think he's got something to him. I think Carson Young can win out here.
He's got a mustache.
Yeah, he's got a mustache. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be this week, but he's. I like that kid. I really do. I like what in watching him play the game. All right. So there's some names. Copperhead. Anything else you want to get out there?
No, I like this golf course. I think that much like last week, it's going to reward the guy that's playing ball striking, playing the best. I mean, Harmon, Gim, those types of guys, they really are above and beyond where a majority of this field is. And I like that. I also think that it's got a tough finish. So we've seen it over the last couple of years. You know, you got to close this thing. And, you know, a lot of them end with a par five or something or a short par four where, like, you know, the tournament committee's like, you know, you got to make birdie to win. And that's fun from time to time. But I like the test at the end of this. You know, there's plenty of places to make birdie on this golf course. And then you get into the end and it's like, okay, hold on for dear life. And I like to see, I mean, it's fun. It's fun.
It is.
I like this spot. And we go to Houston next week for an event that was in the fall. But, we're on a stretch of hard, hard golf courses. Houston's golf course next week, hard. After that, the Valero, hard. And then we go straight into Augusta, which isn't easy. So these guys hit the range, boys. Let's have at it. And let's have a good week. Let's not lip out.
Yeah, we're not far from Augusta, which is cool. I mean, the Players was a great week. I mean, it was really, I think, a refreshing week in many ways. Just the golf course was a story. I thought NBC Golf Channel did a great job with the coverage. I thought that was a really positive story. And then the tournament itself and the way it played out was just a really positive story. There's just so many great things, I think, about the tournament. And just frankly, the game, the PGA Tour professional game needed that. And I just really enjoyed it. And of course, in my backyard, I was out there a couple times. My son was out there, really, I think, kind of fell in love with the game and being out there and watching it. And I was kind of reminded, and I'll finish with this, Keith. I was kind of reminded, you know, it's easy when you're on Twitter and this and that, you can kind of get into this bubble of, you know, being irritated, right? And negativity. And it's easy, like these guys that go and they take the money and then the PGA Tour players are in front of the microphone. They're trying to answer these questions and that's not what they're there for. But then you get out there and you're with your son, you kind of see the game through his eyes, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And you see how gracious, and I'm talking every one of them, because there was a lot of people out there. I mean, even on Wednesday, we were there. There was a lot of people.
Sold out on Saturday.
And they just, you know, I mean, they took the time. I'm telling you, Scotty, he had to sign 300 autographs on the way back from his putting green. You know, I sat there and my son waited, you know, 100 deep. Rory, you know, signing. Jordan Spieth was... You know, my son and I were trying to go across the walkway and Spieth was kind of going back towards underneath the tunnel. And my son goes, "Hey, Jordan." And he turns around and he walks all the way over to the rope and signs it and takes a picture with him. I mean, just things like that, man. You know, just things like that. Like every one of these guys, very gracious. And so I think that's cool. So let's keep that in mind when they're up there answering the questions and maybe you don't hear something that maybe doesn't resonate with you and think, "Oh, that guy's an asshole," and this and that. Like, nah, I'm telling you. 99.9% of these guys, even on the live tour, they're pretty good dudes.
Yeah. I think it's a wonderful sentiment. Great closing.
All right. Keith Stewart at Read the Line. Go check it out. Valspar. We'll be back next week in Houston.